Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. He was a close lifelong friend of Elvis Presley, a pop music television pioneer and the host of Elvis Radio on Sirius XM. He was George Klein, who died this past Tuesday at the age of 83. And you'll learn more about this unique citizen of Memphis, Tennessee from another, author Frank D'Onofrio, when he joins me next. Also ahead, more coming from Downton Abbey's creator, L.A.'s finest sets a date, our classic trivia question, and Ugly Betty is back again in Espanol via our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York and simulcasting on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, it's Lunar New Year Friday, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A very happy Lunar New Year Friday to you and all, and welcome once again to the program All About Television. 50 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. A very interesting episode coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a phone call from you. So raise your voice, pick up the phone, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. We've got our chat room open. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. Guest 187 is already in the room, and you can use the phone or the room to get involved. You'll find our chat room at Simon Apple 04 at our homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using our Facebook timeline. Just click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. The author of Elvis, the King of Rock and Roll, Frank D'Onofrio, will join us live from Maryland after these news notes. Downton Abbey creator Julian Fellowes now has two series irons in his fire. Along with his longest-dating NBC project, The Gilded Age, Fellowes now has on tap Belgravia, a six-part miniseries that will run on Epics day and day for its run on British television. Belgravia is set in 19th-century London, specifically a district of London, and deals with upper-class morals there prior to the Battle of Waterloo. Production will begin in a few months, but the series may debut it by year-end. As for The Gilded Age, NBC says filming will get underway in the near future. In breaking news over the last hour, Sam Esmail, Mr. Robot's creator, will continue his relationship with UCP, which this morning changed its name from Universal Cable Productions to Universal Content Productions, which signals that this unit of NBC Universal will produce not just for its own family of cable networks, but also for Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, etc., including the new direct-to-consumer service that NBC Universal will premiere sometime next year. Coming up from Esmail, Mr. Robot's fourth and final season, and new series Briar Patch with Rosario Dawson, both on USA, plus a second season homecoming later this year on Amazon, and maybe down the road, a new version of the 1927 film classic, Metropolis. Set May 13th, the debut of L.A.'s Finest, the opening effort of Spectrum Originals from cable operator Charter Communications. Charter will launch L.A.'s Finest on its video-on-demand platform, 3 episodes initially, followed by a new installment every week through this summer. Gabriel Union and Jessica Alba co-star as LAPD detectives on the trail of criminal kingpins. Both serve as executive producers. Nancy Graphic will bring Yellowstone Live back for a 4-day run this June. Last spring's undertaking attracted more than 13 million viewers. We had one executive producer on our program last summer, and you can hear that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And actor Albert Finney died earlier today after a brief illness. He was 82. A 5-time bridesmaid, but never a Best Actor Academy Award bride, Finney did win an Emmy in 2002 playing Winston Churchill in the HBO movie The Gathering Storm. And that is news notes for today. To educate you a little bit before we bring on today's guest, a bit of history. In 1950, TV station WFIL in Philadelphia decided to do a daily music show called Bandstand. They hired a local DJ on its own radio station, Bob Horn, to do it. Originally, it was, you might say, the earliest form of music video sequences of pop music at the time. But then, a couple years later, 1952 to be exact, the format changed to what we now would call the beginnings of American Bandstand. That is, having teenagers and 20-somethings gather in a studio, dance to some of the top records of the day, and maybe have an occasional artist as well. Bandstand, in that form, started in October of 1952. In 1956, WFIL fired Horn because of a drunk driving charge, and then, after a substitute host or two, later settled on Dick Clark to be the host. And all of 1957, ABC launched the national version, American Bandstand. And, of course, the rest, as they say in Paul Harvey language, is the rest of the story. When American Bandstand was popular, first as a weekday series and a Saturday afternoon series in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and so on, many local television stations around the country did their own version of Bandstand, either pop music generally or soul music or whatever. In fact, in Los Angeles, there were a number of spin-offs, one which was done by Dick Clark, that later was syndicated. There was one involving Casey Kasem, another called Chivalry, and there was also the Lloyd Saxton Show, which did appear here in New York for a spell on WPIX. In fact, WPIX also, for about a decade, had a very popular DJ with his own series, Clay Cole, at one point calling it Clay Cole's Discotheque. But one of those hosts was, in Memphis, a DJ by the name of George Klein. From 1964 to 1973, he hosted a series called Talent Party. It was a daily show on WHBQ-TV there. Very popular, and during that run, many of the great pop music artists of the day appeared on that series. Later, Klein, who was best known for many people as one of the great friends in Elvis Presley's lifetime, did an Elvis radio series on SiriusXM Satellite Radio. He also wrote several books about the topic. And before he passed away this past Tuesday, at the age of 83, he met our guest, who has also written a book about the King of Rock and Roll called Elvis the King of Rock and Roll. And more recently, he was one of our classic trivia question winners. Joining us live from Maryland between Baltimore and Philadelphia, Frank D'Onofrio. Frank, welcome in.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate you having me on.
It's a pleasure. Why should we know more about George Klein, both as a friend of Elvis Presley, a very good friend for a lot of his lifetime, but also as a pop music pioneer for television?
Sure. Simon, I don't know if your research told you this, but George actually took over Talent Party from another really great early television host, okay? But we all know him as a television host of game shows. His name was Wink Martindale. Did you know that?
I didn't, but I do know that Wink Martindale was a friend of Elvis, and also he was a very popular, before he became a game show host in the 60s, then of course they had the host of Tic-Tac-Doe and Debt and so forth. He was a DJ, a very popular DJ in Memphis.
Yes, so George took over the program from Wink when Wink went to California. And the party was, the town party was a very, very influential show in Memphis. George was influential in two ways. One was he brought in new acts. He always brought in new acts and pushed and promoted local Memphis sounds. But in addition to that, his shows were the first shows that integrated television in terms of television, music, and so on and so forth. And George actually introduced the world to people like the great B.B. King, also James Brown, who became a very close personal friend of George over the years and also a very close personal friend of Elvis Presley. These are things that a lot of people don't know about George. George is the nicest person anyone would want to meet. And I first heard of George on the radio, listening to Elvis radio all the time, and went down to visit him in the summer of 2017 when I was in Memphis. And it was a great meeting. He was just magnanimous. He's a wonderful man.
We want to welcome guests 187 and 192 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04. If you have a question or comment for our guests, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. We all know that television really catapulted Presley into stardom. Many who remember the appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show, but he was on other programs as well. Did Klein have anything to do with getting him on those shows?
No. George was Elvis Presley's contemporary. They both went to high school together. So, no, he didn't have any influence over that because George was, as Wink Martindale put it in a recent interview, George was the gopher of Dewey Phillips, which was anything that Dewey needed, George went and got it for him. And so when Elvis was introduced to the world 65 years ago this year by Dewey Phillips, George was there for the for that moment. And it's just a wonderful analysis of how life has changed over the last 65 years Here's a man that just was a friend of Elvis, and Elvis knew him from high school. He was George was the high school class president when Elvis graduated, and George was just a good guy, never did anything bad to Elvis, but after Elvis became famous, he needed to surround himself with people that he trusted. George was that kind of person.
We, I think, had a call for a moment, so call if you want to call in, please do so, 646-652-1906, we'll get you on the air. However, I understand that Klein was in Elvis's movies, including one that just recently played on Turner Classic Movies a couple weeks ago, Jailhouse Rock.
That's correct. George is funny because there's a poster, and he liked to point himself out in the poster on a lot of occasions. It's it was quite funny. But George was in almost all of Elvis's movies, if you believe that. He had small roles, walk-ons and different things like that. And he would always schedule his off time, his vacation time, in and around Elvis's movies that were done twice a year.
Incidentally, that movie Jailhouse Rock is also remembered as one that gave us a rare and, sad to say, one of the few movie performances of a very talented woman named Judy Tyler, who originally got her start on the Howdy Doody show, playing Princess Summer, Fall, Winter, Spring. She did Jailhouse Rock, and sad to say, she died, I believe, in an accident shortly before the film was released, and that was why Elvis did not do a lot of promotion for that film. But anyone who has seen that film will tell you that Judy Tyler, had she lived, I think would have been a marvelous star. Okay, we have our caller. Let's take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
A woman named Judy Tyler.
Hello?
Yes, hi, you're on the air. Welcome. What's your name and where are you calling
from? Well, hi, my name's Denise, and I'm calling in. It's Denise and Al here who are calling in to say hi to Frank D'Onofrio, your guest today. Tell him Cousin Denise is on the phone and we're listening.
Great. Where are you calling from, Denise?
We're calling from Staten Island. I'm here with my dad, Al, and we're calling from Staten Island.
Well, it's great to have you both on the program. And is there a question you'd like to ask Frank?
Hi, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Yeah, Denise, is there a question you'd like to ask Frank while he's on the air?
I didn't know that he was so famous, but I'm so excited. I really just wanted to wish him luck on your show, and we're listening. No question particularly.
Frank, you want to respond?
Sure. Thank you, Denise. Well, first of all, thanks very much for the call. I appreciate it.
You have a great show, and we're listening in, and good luck.
All right. Thank you,
Simon.
Denise. And out by way, thanks for calling in. Denise and Al from Staten Island calling us on Tomorrow Be Televised. How did you get to know George, and what do you think about doing television in that era of in Memphis with Talent Party, where so many stations around the country were trying to emulate Bandstand, American Bandstand?
Well, first of all, George was predated Bandstand. Some information that you'd like to, he actually predated Bandstand, and he was had to change his time slot because Bandstand took over. That's the first thing. I met George in 2017. I traveled to Memphis on a business trip, and after reading his book, Elvis, My Best Man, I was mesmerized by his friendship with Elvis Presley. In addition to that, I was a constant listener of his radio show where he interviewed a lot of old Elvis friends. Well, I visited George. George was ill on and off that year, and my wife and I, Irene, were in Memphis, and that one weekend was Memorial Day weekend, and I ran into the apartment, and I said, Irene, we're going to Graceland right now. George is there. I said, I got to get him to sign my book. So I went to Graceland, got in, and while there were people that were milling around outside waiting for George to come out, I, through the window, showed my book to him and pointed to it. And he called me to come into the studio. And so I walked in the studio, and my wife was mesmerized because there were other people in that were waiting for George for over an hour, and he just calls me into the studio. I sat down in the studio talking with him, and we were talking. I said, George, you know, you were there, you know, through this whole thing from the beginning. You know how rock and roll got started, and I'm surprised that no one's ever written a book about how rock and roll actually got started and Elvis's rise to prominence and the fact that he truly is the king of rock and roll. You wrote in your book that Elvis produced his own material. And we were talking for about 10 minutes during all the songs that were playing, and he said, Frank, you know, you've got a lot to say. Put those headsets on. And so at the end of the show that day, for the last 4 minutes of the show, I'm talking to George Klein about Elvis Presley and how I felt this is what I felt Elvis Presley was missing about all the information about Elvis Presley, about how he came to prominence, what was important about that, that no one really solidified rock and roll until he appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. And he agreed with me. He said, Frank, no one's ever written anything about that, about Elvis Presley. And so the show ended, and after the show, he said to me, Frank, he said, you've got to write that book. And so for the last almost 2 years, I had been writing and chronicalizing Elvis's rise to prominence, and I learned a lot of things. I learned things that that Elvis had done that were a surprise to me. I'll give you one good example was that in the Grand Ole Opry, he had tried out for the Grand Ole Opry and was told by the person who was running it that he better go back to drive a truck because he didn't have a future in music. 2 weeks later, he appeared on the sister of the Grand Ole Opry, a competitor called the Louisiana Hayride, and Elvis automatically became a superstar on radio and TV. And it wasn't until the Dorsey brothers picked him up in 1955 that Elvis started his rise, early 56, I'm sorry, that Elvis started his rise to the future.
And that program that our guest Frank Sinatra just mentioned was called Stage Show, and it was a part of a doubleheader in Jackie Gleason's time slot on CBS. What preceded that show? Just one of the great classics of all time, The Honeymooners. Frank D'Onofrio is our guest this afternoon on Tomorrow Be Televised. He's the author of Elvis, the King of Rock and Roll, Remembering a Pop Music TV, and Elvis, Friend for Life. George Klein passed away this past Tuesday at the age of 83. Frank joins us live from Maryland this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum up the coast a bit in New York, 50 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Frank, ring it in, 646-652-906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 Angus 187 is in the room. Two big premieres on television next Friday. One, the long-awaited Kim Possible live-action movie on the Disney Channel. And we will have next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised the executive producer of that film, Zane Devine. Also, just booked up, we'll have the co-creator executive producer of the new series on Fox that premieres that night, Proven Innocent, with Kelsey Grammer among the stars. David Elliott will join us. And we'll also look at a new series that's going on BYU TV. Actually, it premiered this past fall, on CW as part of their One Magnificent Morning Saturday morning program called Welcome Home. It's a very unusual take on the home restoration renovation trend, where the people involved are people who were formerly homeless or just got out of homeless shelters. The series just premiered a few weeks ago on BYU TV, and we'll have the co-executive producer, Robin Samuels, and we also hope to have the host as well. That's all coming up on a 90-minute edition of our show, 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. When you talked with Klein, did he have anything to say about how Elvis was treated on television, both when TV really brought him to fame on the Ed Sullivan Show, on Stage Show, other programs in the 50s, but also when Elvis, at a sort of fallow period in his musical career, came back on television, that famous comeback special, the special from Hawaii, and the other specials he did between 1968 and his death?
Sure. Simon, first of all, Elvis hated the word comeback special, just to let you know. He says, I've always been here. I never came back from anything. That's the first thing. But George mentioned in my talks with him that Elvis did not like television. And part of the reason that he didn't like television was mainly because of the way he was treated by Steve Allen. Steve Allen had Elvis on the show shortly after a Dorsey Brothers show in which Elvis did Hound Dog in a slightly, I would say, risque version of it, where he kind of did a risque version of it. And then Steve Allen had Elvis on the show in 2 weeks after that, in which he vowed that Elvis would not embarrass him the way he embarrassed the Dorsey brothers. And then he appeared in a tuxedo singing to a hound dog. Now, Elvis was good-natured and pretty much was a very polite young man at the time. He was 21 years old, but he didn't like that. He didn't like being embarrassed. And his feelings about television were very, very muted for a while. But when he came back in 1968, and this is something that your listeners should know, the show that Elvis was supposed to create in 1968 was supposed to be a Christmas show, similar to Andy Williams, kind of. And the person that produced the show decided that wasn't the show he wanted to produce. That wasn't the Elvis that he wanted to portray. And first of all, he felt it was a waste of his talent. So he went one-on-one to Elvis and had a conversation with him outside of the Colonel. And that conversation was, Elvis, you can either do a Christmas show or I can create you in a light that will have people talking about you the next day. Well, Elvis's ears popped up, and he decided on the latter rather than the former. And it was the most remarkable show in television history. That show, the 1968 Singer Special, catapulted Elvis back into reality, because prior to that, Simon, Elvis was a non-event. His day had come and gone, people thought.
And because of the movie show, not doing well. I was just saying, because of the movie's not doing well at that time, and also, if I remember correctly, he had not done a lot of hit songs at the time, or he was not on the pop charts at the time.
Correct. Well, a lot of it had to do with his management. Colonel Tom Parker was his manager, and honestly, in the 50s and 60s, Colonel Parker was a genius. But when it got to the late 60s and early 70s, the Colonel lost his edge. And the Colonel felt that he wasn't going to pay money for good scripts, because Elvis was making on a minimum of $1 million a picture for the film and $1 million per soundtrack. So the Colonel felt, why would he invest money in his client? Secondly, the songs that he chose for Elvis had to be done in which Elvis had a contract in which he had to receive one-third of all the rights to the songs that he would sing. That was a Hill and Range contract that he signed when he joined RCA Records. That one-third that he had to take ownership allowed him to have rights to receive royalties on the playing of the song, the producing of the song, and so on and so forth. So most artists only receive a royalty on the songs that they perform when they sell an album or a record. If you are a writer or you are a producer on those albums or records, then you would receive a different cut every time that it was paid. So that kind of got Elvis away from some of the great music. Lastly, Colonel Tom Parker felt that Elvis Presley was so talented and that he was so hot that if he sang the phone book, he'd make $1 million, which, if you think about it, was kind of true, because some of those songs during the 1960s were downright horrible.
Well, absolutely. And as you pointed out, a couple of things. I mentioned the Steve Allen. That was Steve Allen's primetime show, I believe, that he had the appearance with Hound Dog, not his Tonight Show. which was still going
in
the mid-1950s. The second thing is, if you should know about the Elvis Comeback Special, it has that wonderful jam session with the musicians, which a lot of people, I think, still think was one of the best moments that Elvis had on television and in his career.
Absolutely. That was an accident, Simon. That was an accident. The producer of the show was Elvis would have his friends around, and during the breaks, Elvis would sit around and he would be jamming with his friends, just sitting there and actually just jamming. And while he was jamming, he would sit there, and the producer walked in one day and was listening to this. And he said, "This is remarkable. We need to do this." And so he put that on the air. Now, I'll give you one little tidbit. The story about that is very, very important, because the songs that Elvis sang in that jam session, so to speak, Scotty Moore had come back because he had had a falling out with Elvis, actually had a falling out with the Colonel. And Scotty Moore came back at the behest of Elvis because he would do anything for Elvis. And Bill Black had passed away about 4 years before of cancer. They played that music in an acoustic set. DJ Fontana was banging on the back of a guitar. And that probably would be considered Elvis's probably greatest moment of his career, because he did things during that session that proved that he was the king of rock and roll. And after that moment, after that comeback special, Elvis became relevant again. People realized why he was the king of rock and roll. Another story about the Steve Allen show.
Frank, before we get back, I need to take a quick break. I do want to make one other footnote about the comeback special. The director of that special was a brilliant talent named Steve Binder, who later went on to do a lot of great variety shows in different places throughout the 70s and 80s. He was also responsible for one of my favorite variety shows ever, the live Diana Ross concert from Central Park. So I'm happy to say I believe will be seen in some movie theaters this month as part of a Black History Month celebration. And in addition, he also got involved with Pee Wee's Playhouse in the latter stage of his career. If you have a chance to see Steve Biner's work, do see it. He's one of the great directors of variety shows and music shows of all time. Frank, we need to take a break. Can you stay on for another 5 or 10 minutes or so? Because I wanted to explore some more on Mr. Klein.
Thank you. I'd love to.
All right, you got it, Frank. We'll talk to you a little bit more in a bit. Frank D'Onofrio is joining us. He is the author of Elvis, the King of Rock and Roll. He'll be back after the bottom of the hour, and we'll be able to tell you about how you can see a video clip of Klein discussing a very interesting aspect of his relationship with Elvis. But first, we'll have some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. In case you haven't heard, Netflix has decided to make a new series out of a very popular novel called Pieces of Her by the terrific writer Karen Slaughter. Well, now you can get that free with a trial run at Audible.com, narrated in wonderful detail. And all you have to do is just go to audibletrial.com/televised. And if you haven't heard, it's not just one audiobook you can get under a trial run, it's three. One from the great catalog of over 180,000 titles in every genre to choose from, but also the growing catalog of Audible Originals, original radio productions and audio productions made especially for Audible, an Amazon company. It's everything from one woman, one man shows, off-Broadway and Broadway regional theater material, and a whole lot more. And remember, you can listen to any audiobook from Audible on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. Get three free audiobooks, one month trial. If you stay with a subscription, you get your choice of up to three books every single month. How's that for a super deal in 2019? So give it a try. audibletrial.com/televised. Hear for yourself why audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. When we come back, we'll have more with Frank D'Onofrio. We will have our classic trivia question of the week. And if you haven't seen Telemundo the last two nights, they have got maybe the best Spanish language series production in their history. Betty in Nueva York. That is our show to know. We'll get to all that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You can get the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com and speaker.com. One 3 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Key to the Unplug show. Check it out Monday nights, 9, 10 Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, best BTR and Spreaker 24/7 at youtube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Lunar New Year Friday 2019, coming up on July from New York. Great guest with us live from Maryland between Baltimore and Philadelphia Way. And if you have a question or comment, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We welcome guest 205 into the room. And rejoining us now is Frank D'Onofrio, the author of Elvis, the King of Rock and Roll, and a great friend of George Klein, the pop music TV pioneer and big colleague of Elvis, who passed away this past Tuesday at the age of 83. One of the things that was interesting to me about researching George Klein was that he actually helped get Elvis a hit in the 1970s, one of his biggest songs.
That's right. Suspicious Minds. It was Suspicious Minds. The reason was that Elvis was doing a lot of honestly garbage work at the time because, as I said, Colonel Tom Parker didn't want to pay for the recording of these songs, or the writing of these songs. By the way, this started right after Jailhouse Rock. You mentioned Jailhouse Rock earlier. Lieber and Stoller wrote the soundtrack for Jailhouse Rock. And Colonel Tom Parker, after that, because Elvis was so attached to them, severed the relationship between Lieber and Stoller and Elvis Presley. He sent them a new contract and left the price blank and told them to sign it. They refused. And that was the last time that they did work with Elvis Presley, which is a shame. They were great writers. But moving back to 1968, George Klein had suggested to Elvis that he not do that anymore, that he should get good new material and that he should record music. And Elvis, George was a big proponent of the Memphis area and asked him to record at American Studios, which was right down the block, and said, and George said, instead of going to Memphis or New York, Nashville or New York to do your show, to do your recording, why don't you stay home? And so Elvis recorded probably his best music since the late 1950s at American Studios. He had hit after hit after hit. He had Suspicious Minds. He had Kentucky Rain. The list goes on and on and on. Actually, George suggested Kentucky Rain for Elvis. He thought that was a perfect song for him. And he mentioned that to me. He told me the story behind it when we spoke. One of the things, Simon, that you may not know, and if you go to the Memphis Library website, there are a whole bunch of old shows by George Klein that you can watch, YouTube watch or watch online. And basically one of them is his introduction of a young man that is a current star, and his name is Justin Timberlake. He actually introduced the world to Justin Timberlake back in the late 70s, early 80s.
How did he do that? How did he introduce Justin Timberlake? Did he do a special in Memphis or somewhere else?
Once again, George always did the talent parties or the talent shows. It was kind of like an old day American Idol, local American Idol, people would vote on their favorite artists. And in one interview that if you get from the Memphis Library, it has Justin Timberlake asking people to vote. Very interesting. But George did a lot of things, if you really look at it, that were breakthrough in television, that today things are happening just because of that, because of the things that George did. And I think it's very, very important to note that George was one of the nicest people that you ever want to meet. I mean, I was on the show with him for 3 minutes, and the show was over, and he stayed an entire hour and a half afterwards telling me Elvis stories. And he made one comment to me that honestly my life was altered at that point. He said, "Frank, you got to write this book." And then his next line was, "You know, Frank, Elvis would have loved you." And for a lifelong Elvis fan, that's like the Pope saying Jesus would have loved me.
In his later years, as he was doing the Elvis radio service, the Sirius XM satellite. Did George have any thoughts about how music was treated on television? Any thoughts about MTV or VH1 or the Hawaii music videos, things like Soul Train, which, by the way, we just had a BET premiere, American Soul, their dramedy about the making of that series, and its entrepreneur, Don Cornelius. Did he have anything to say about music's treatment on television from when he was doing it till present day?
Well, he loved the fact that new acts were coming out all the time. Oh, by the way, another person that George introduced was a young man named Bruno Mars. People in rap music know about him, and he actually introduced Bruno because his mother, who said she was a lifelong Elvis fan, said that that she would like him to promote her son, and he did. George was a good person. He felt that music had progressed. And one of the things he was very proud of the fact was that George didn't see color. George saw good music, and he, like Elvis Presley, believed that music was something that would bring people together. And all throughout his career, George would be promoting great acts that other people refused to put on their show, people like Rufus Thomas or people like the godfather of soul, James Brown. These people did not appear on local television at the time because of the segregation that was going on in the South, but George changed that. George made people realize that it's not the color of your skin that's important, it's the content of your character and the quality of your music.
It's been a couple of days now since George's passing. Do you know whether or not the local TV stations in Memphis or elsewhere are paying tribute to him? Are there any plans by you or some of the people who like George New Elvis to honor him in some way?
Yes, absolutely. Right now, as we speak, if you turn to Elvis Radio, Big Jim Sykes is doing a special on George. The local radio, the local TV shows have dedicated some time about George. One of the things, Simon, I'd like to say is in ancient times, people used to sit around the fire and there would always be somebody who would be an oral historian, somebody who would be able to recite legends about the legendary people of the past. And that's something that oral history goes on forever. George Klein was not a writer, but he was Elvis's biographer in a verbal sort. George has many TV shows and many radio shows and a backlog of just precious material in which he told the story about the legendary Elvis Presley. And I'll be honest with you, George, after meeting George, and I also met Elvis's guitar player, James Brown, and hearing the stories they told, these stories are all true. They may sound embellished because some of them are just so crazy, but they weren't. They actually were events that happened, and they were documented. And so George was the biographer, the verbal biographer of Elvis Presley, and one of the most loyal friends that he ever had, because George never said a bad thing about Elvis Presley I've ever heard in my lifetime.
If you don't know about George Klein, you really ought to know, especially in light of his passing several days ago. Why? Because he really was, you might say, the Dick Clark of Memphis television and Memphis radio. The more you get to know George, and I want to thank Frank for giving me the impetus to do this segment, the more you find that he really was a major innovator in that neck of the woods for pop music and soul music on television and on radio. And he will be, for those people who knew him, whether through his radio TV connection, through Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the Elvis Radio that he founded and hosted for so many years, as well as his association with Elvis Presley, he will be very, I believe, long remembered. I think more people, I hope, as a result of this segment, will come to see that way. If you would like to know more about Klein, his career, go to wikipedia.org because they have a wonderful article about him. Also, if you would like to see a video clip of Klein talking about how he persuaded Elvis to make Suspicious Minds as a number one hit song rather than a B-side of a record. Here's where you go. www.namm.org. That's www.namm.org. That's a special site put together by the National Association of Music. I saw the clip earlier today. I think you're going to be really, really impressed by this. And again, tell people if you'd like to see more of Klein in action, where should they go? The site you talked about earlier, but also talk about the site for your book.
The Memphis Library has some significant old television clips. YouTube, if you can get onto YouTube and peruse there, then it's there. I have a website. It's brand new. It's titled after my book. It's Elvis-the-king-of-rockandroll.com. It's named right after the book, Elvis, the King of Rock and Roll. So, and rock and roll is spelled R-O-C-K-A-N-D-R-O-L-L.
However you get to hear more or see more about George Klein, please do. I think you'll find him a really, truly amazing talent. By the way, condolences to his many family and his many family members and as well as many, many friends from all over the U.S. of A. and beyond. Thank you again for joining us. I'm sorry, go ahead.
He'll be sorely missed. I mean, he was loved in Memphis and just a wonderful man, just the nicest man you'd ever want to meet.
Absolutely. Frank Diacro, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on all you've done to showcase George Klein in and out of his lifetime. And also, thanks for being one of our early Classic Trivia winners of this year. We really appreciate it. And all the very best with your – by the way, I should point out, too, that Klein also wrote several books about Elvis. I'm sure some of them are at a local bookstore near you or available on Amazon, other bookstores online too. Again, Frank, thanks for joining us. All the very best to you.
Thank you, Simon. Have me on again. We can talk about early Elvis Presley in television and Dewey Phillips. I'd love to have some conversations with you about that.
Absolutely. Anytime you like. Frank, take care. Have a super weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
Frank D'Onofrio joining us live from Maryland this half hour and more on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week, and we are still waiting for a winner, our fourth winner of 2019, to this question. Name the 1950s television series starring, not co-starring, Michael Ancera. We've had some, in the last week and a half, we've had a lot of people say Broken Arrow. No, that was a co-star role with John Lupton for two seasons, but he actually did star in his own television series, well, a lot of guest shots. Before and afterward. I'll give you two hints. Number one, it was a Western. Secondly, it was a spinoff of another Western series. If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And if you come through with the correct answer, you will win the best-selling book, 1 Year of Reality and How It Nearly Killed Me, My Life Behind the Scenes by past guest Deborah Wolf. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you get the correct answer very soon, you can win. It'll be our next classic trivia question winner. We're looking for our fourth winner in the last 5 weeks. And you could be like Frank D'Onofrio was. You could win. A great thing to do. So play in. You never know. Just like Frank did, it is definitely worth it. And now it's time for a feature that we call A Show to Know. It's where we highlight a program that we think is worth watching. And you might not know about it because either not well marketed, promoted, publicized, or it falls under the radar screen of critics and journalists and reporters who follow this theme. Two nights ago, Telemundo brought back a character that has been around in both Spanish language television for a few decades, originally in Spanish language TV, Betty La Fea, Ugly Betty. Some people may remember the classic Spanish language show that Telemundo ran when it first came out more than a decade or so ago. And then, of course, there was the very popular ABC series that ran on Thursday night starring America Ferrera in her breakout role with Vanessa Williams and other people in the cast. Well, Betty is back in a brand new nightly series on 9 p.m. East Pacific time on Telemundo, and it's called Betty and NY, Betty in Nueva York. I've seen the first two episodes that were on this past Wednesday and last night, and let me tell you, whether you love Spanish or English language television, check this show out. It is marvelous. And if you're a big fan of Ugly Betty either way, you will love this series. Why? Because it has the tone down, it has a sensational cast, good writing and direction, wonderful New York City landmarks and location segments, and in particular, a star making performance of the highest order by a wonderful new talent named Elifer Torres, who plays Ugly Betty. She has got the character down pat and then some. You will fall in love with her immediately. She is really terrific. You'll love her escapades. And I got to tell you, the supporting cast is equally marvelous, including Eric Elias, Sabrina Estella, and Aaron Diaz. And I wish to point out that there are some scenes that are done in English, some many in Spanish, but however you see the show, I think you'll love it. However you've come to know Ugly Betty, I think you will like this show. I credit, by the way, Telemundo for trying to shoot as much of the show as they can in New York. Everything about the show works. Wonderful scenes of New York City action, wonderful scenes of the fashion industry, and in particular, a great, maybe the best music soundtrack of any Spanish-language TV series, scripted series I've seen. Those of you who know me know the past, I've been very, very critical of Spanish-language TV producers for slapping on music soundtracks every scene, 45 seconds or 30 seconds every scene, and doing it in sort of the end-of-the-world music. Well, it has gotten better in recent years, but this is the best yet. There are certain scenes that are done without music at all. They don't need it. There are certain scenes that use natural music surroundings, whether done in restaurants or during fashion shows, et cetera, et cetera. And there are scenes where the original music is used, and it's used very, very well. I credit the people doing the music on the show for really taking to heart the criticism and really doing a show that really makes the music pop when it's supposed to and makes it work. Betty in Nueva York. If the first two episodes, both hour-long, are an indication, this is a winner. And I do think that Elifer Torres should definitely be considered as a possible candidate for Best Actress in a Comedy. For any, and whether it's English or Spanish language television, I think she's got a wonderful performance going for her this fall, for an Emmy nomination this fall. We will see. And I'm happy to tell you that so far, the Telemundo audience has really come on strong. It is already the number one show in its time period among different demographic groups across the country, and particularly in Miami and Los Angeles. And I have a hunch New York is going to get behind it. I would love to see the Paley Center, by the way, give this show a screening with the cast coming up here in New York. I think it would be great if they could do it like in the next month or so. And Telemundo should definitely get their local stations to talk to TV critics around the country and have them see this show. It is really, really marvelous. Elifer Torres is Ugly Betty in Betty and NY, Betty in Nueva York. Weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern, including tonight, and Pacific on your local Telemundo station. For more details, of course, online, www.telemundo.com. And incidentally, there's also wonderful use of advertising in the show. I think it's upcoming, there's an interesting use of State Farm insurance agents in some of the plot sequences. I think it's a lot of fun. By the way, do you have an idea for a show to know? Is there a TV series you like you feel doesn't get enough attention, no matter where it's on? Well, we'd like to know, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Again, if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, we'll get the credit. Things up for the day, two notes. First of all, I'm delighted to tell you that my new weekly column for Media Village is finally happening. The first column was posted this morning, and thank you all if you've read it so far. If you haven't, check it out at www.mediavillage.com. It's www.mediavillage.com. I also have a new email you can reach me at for your reaction to these columns, which will be coming out once a week. It's simon@mediavillage.com. That's simon@mediavillage.com. I look forward to your thoughts about the column, story suggestions, feedback, whatever. And I want to again thank Media Village for the wonderful new expanded relationship, which ultimately will include incorporating this show in our Media Village activities. I hope down the road to have some more of the Media Village talent on this program, and we also hope maybe down the road to originate our episodes from Media Village's headquarters in Midtown Manhattan, and also through Media Village, get on more podcast sites. So check out MediaVillage.com. I think you'll really enjoy what the folks there have to say about where TV and media are at and where it's going. And finally, if you have noticed, you may hear a different sound vibe coming from yours truly, Zen. And that's because the very first time, after a number of months of considering, I am wearing a microphone attached to my smartphone. We're going to see how it goes. Got it at Best Buy earlier this week in one of the Brooklyn locations, and I hope it works. And I hope that it makes the sound quality much better. And I want to thank E.B. Moss, one of the key editors of Media Village, for suggesting it. It was her thought, And finally, it finally got through, and Best Buy, the equipment to make it happen, and hopefully it works. Love to hear from you about it. So please do email me or find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter to let me know your thoughts about our new sound quality to the show, at least from this person's end. And that will do it for Tomorrow Be Televised today and for this week. Again, thank you to Frank D'Onofrio for a wonderful interview remembering George Klein, friend of Elvis Presley, pop music TV pioneer, who passed away Tuesday at the age of 83. We'll be back on Monday at our regular time, GTV's New Pacific. And don't forget, coming your way next Friday, we'll have a 90-day edition kicking things off from the new Kim Possible movie on the Disney Channel, executive producer Zene Devine. From the new Fox series, Proven Innocent, starring Kelsey Grammer and others, co-creator executive producer David Elliott. And from the new BYU TV series, also running on the CW Saturday mornings, Welcome Home, co-executive producer Robin Samuels, and maybe the host of the show as well. Now, in addition, coming your way next Friday, 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Coming your way on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and also on the IR Radio Podcast Network. If you missed today's program, or you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage anytime you like, blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check us out several ways on podcasts at iTunes, Apple TV and Speakers iTunes podcast app, and of course, iHeartRadio at www.ira.com. What you have to do there, go to iHeartRadio's website, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you're in. Love to hear what you thought about today's unusual show. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. I do respond to email within 24 hours. Don't forget, you can use the email to be in our classic trivia question. One more time, the question is, name the 1950s TV series starring Michael and Sarah. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. First correct answer wins 1 year of reality and How Near the Kid with the book by past guest Deborah Wolf. If we don't get an answer by the end of today, we will post it over the weekend on Facebook and on Twitter at UBT Simon TWBT. That's UBT Simon TWBT. And don't forget, that's where you can always contact me. I do respond to Twitter and Facebook postings, again, within 24 hours. We always love hearing from you, and we always want your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's headed. Why? Because what you say matters 24/7, anytime. Okay? Okay. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at Blog Talk is Candace Williams. ANCO is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Zenifies are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Company, and proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival happening this summer. Remember, Audible is transforming the way you hear the world. For 3 free audiobooks and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Lunar New Year to celebrate it, or your week, and have a sensational weekend along the way, too. We're back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker, and the IR Radio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.